In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's a great pleasure to be with all of you. We begin our conversation, as always, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the mother of the church. She's the mother of God. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. In the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary also as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to join us to pray for us and to pray with us as we begin a new day with the purpose of glorifying God by our words, but also by our lives. So let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that's the Hail Mary, together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Excuse me. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. What a privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit as our spiritual director. And among the many titles we have for the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. The Holy Spirit is also our consoler. And St. Paul reminds us, the Holy Spirit Romans chapter 8. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, Father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us a lot of light in our intellect, but also to set our hearts on fire with love, set our hearts on fire for love of Him and our neighbor. As we pray, come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we might be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, my friends, to encourage all of you, I finished my holy hour. I usually spend about an hour and a half at the crack of dawn. And I'll be celebrating my Mass, and I'd like to place you on the altar when I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's right, I'd like to place you on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Of course, there's no greater prayer than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It's the prayer par excellence. So I'd like to place you on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I'd like to offer these specific intentions. First is I'd like to pray that as we draw closer to Holy Week, that we would be more open and docile to the Holy Spirit. We'd be more open and docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit. And perhaps we can say this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. To say that prayer often. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for all of your families. Your family members, especially pray for our family members that have drifted away from God. They've chosen another path, that they will recognize that true happiness can only come through a deeper union with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to place all of you and your intentions on the altar. I'd like to pray for Michelangelo, who has to make decisions on his upcoming college. Yes, these are very important intentions. That's very important. You parents help your children to make the right choice as to where they're going after high school. Very important decision. Super important decision. So it's place parents that have to help their teenagers to make the right decision as to where they're going to go and what they're going to do with their lives. We should always remember the purpose of our life is to get to heaven. My last intention, I'd like to pray for those who will be dying today. Especially I'd like to pray for those who are not in the state of grace, that they would open up their hearts and they would beg for God's mercy so that they will be saved. That they will be saved. So let's pray for Hector, let's pray for Michelangelo, let's pray for many intentions. Like you to pray. I just learned last night that one of my nieces has come to live in Long Beach. And one of those nieces, she's not practicing her faith. So you could maybe pray for my niece who's living in Long Beach now, that she would come back to God. We all have family members that definitely need our prayers. And that's why we're coming together. We're coming together as a family. So before getting into the Word of God today, I would like to give you a brief catechesis. But what we said very much related to yesterday. Yesterday we talked about the communion of saints. We talked about the Santoral in which the church here, we celebrate the lives of the saints in the church. So I'd like to give you just a brief catechesis on the church itself, and this is a classical model of the church. The church, the Catholic Church, is the mystical body of Christ. And classically, the church has been divided into three different parts. You have what is called the church suffering. We have the church militant, and we have the church triumphant. Remember that the church suffering, the church militant, and then we have the church triumphant. So, the church suffering, my friends, would be the souls in purgatory. We can never make a mistake by praying for our deceased relatives and friends. We should never canonize our brothers and sisters, our relatives, saying that now they're in a better place, they're no longer suffering. Even though my father passed away about 7 years ago, and a very good man, I still pray for him. And I think that that's wise. There's an erroneous theology that's been spreading throughout the country the past 50 years that Someone dies, he goes right to heaven. That's really not the way it is. The book of Apocalypse says that nothing impure can enter into the kingdom of heaven. So let's pray for the deceased, that they will be saved, that they will be brought to the beatific vision of God. The church triumphant, my friends, the church triumphant, that's us. We belong to the church, the church militant. We belong to the church militant. Now, there you have that word, military, militant. We form part of the church militant. In our Perseverance family, we're part of the church militant. We're fighting on a daily basis to make it to our eternal homeland, which is heaven. We have to fight against three basic enemies: the devil, the flesh, and the world. The devil is the father of lies. The flesh does not want to obey the spirit. And the world wants to convince us that we can find true happiness in this world, which is not true. And then we go from the church militant to the church triumphant. The church triumphant would be the souls that have arrived at heaven. So we should make a real effort to get to know the lives of the saints. So, the church triumphant is a communion of saints. In a very real sense, my friends, in a very real sense, we really are never alone. The saints in heaven, they are our friends. They are before the face of God. They want to help us to make it to heaven. And they understand with God that our major enemy is that of sin. That's what we're striving to do in this season of Lent. We're trying to distance ourselves from the reality of sin. If there's any good fasting, the best fasting would be to fast from sin, to give up sin in our lives. So that's my brief catechesis today, and it's on the church. Young people today say, well, I believe in God, I believe in the Bible, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I really don't believe in the church. I don't like the church. The church is filled with hypocrites, you'll sometimes hear. But it's wrong. Jesus ascended into heaven where he sits at the right hand of God the Father. But he said that I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. How was he present to us? He's present to us in his mystical body, the church. Let's pray for many of our family members that have drifted away from the church, that they would come back. that they would come back. So the readings today offers us the tender readings from the prophet Isaiah chapter 49, Psalm 145. The antiphon is, "The Lord is gracious and merciful." And we're reading now through the Gospel of St. John, the Gospel of St. John chapter 5. Just a brief biblical overview. My friends, if we really want to love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we have to get to know Him. We really can't love a person that we don't know. And we have the unique privilege to be able to read and meditate upon the Word of God every day, and our Perseverance Family Conversation, which I direct many of my thoughts to trying to read through and explain the Word of God. So the four Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, the 28 chapters, Mark, 6 chapters, Luke, 24 chapters, and John, 21 chapters. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what are called the Synoptic Gospels. They basically have the same themes. Whereas the Gospel of St. John is different. It was the last one that was written and directed to the early Christian community. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to read with you the Gospel today, just pull out some golden nuggets that we can meditate upon. So the Jews are debating with Jesus. They're quarreling with Him. They're disagreeing with what He's preaching. And our Lord speaks very clearly about His relationship with the Father and His purpose for coming. So let's go deep into the Word of God today. Jesus answers the Jews by saying, "My Father is at work until now, so I am at work." Let's talk about that. Jesus speaks about the Father at work and He at work. We are all called to work. That's right. From the sin of Adam and Eve to the present day, we're all called to work. God said to Adam that he should earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, by hard work. Let us appreciate work. And experience shows, there's a passage from the Diary of St. Faustina. She's in the convent and she actually sees the devil. The devil is running back and forth in the corridor. And Jesus tells Faustina to stop and ask the devil What is his most successful tactic to trap souls? So Faustina stops the devil, and under obedience the devil has to speak and says, my best triumph is that of laziness. When people are lazy, that's when I can win them over most. So work would be the opposite of laziness. St. Paul says, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Before moving out into the public life, Jesus was a worker. So was St. Joseph. The type of work that they did, they were carpenters. Many of you are homemakers. You should never feel that if you're at home carrying out your domestic chores is denigrating or it's lowering your dignity. That's not true at all. Because Jesus and Joseph worked hard at the carpenter shop. But Mary worked hard in the home of Nazareth. So if you're at home, do not feel that your domestic chores and tasks is a waste of time. Not so. We mentioned this before in our talks that Mary carried out her domestic chores with perfection. And what that means, she carried out her domestic chores with perfection. Is that Mary would clean. Mary would cook. Mary would wash. Mary would buy the food. Mary worked very hard at home. But what she did was, Mary carried this out with great love. So each and every one of us is called to work. Work is very good for us. Jesus says, my Father is at work until now, so I am at work. Let us turn to Jesus and St. Joseph and grant us the grace to appreciate work, to do it for the honor and glory of God, carry out our work for our own sanctification, to do our work in union with Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph. Perhaps when you think about work, what surfaces normally is physical, manual work, which is important. Many of the domestic chores that you carry out are related to manual physical work. But I don't think that we should underestimate, my friends, what is called mental or intellectual work. Quite the contrary. Once we've finished our manual work, ordering, cleaning, organizing our homes, then all of us here in our Perseverance family, we should all make a concerted effort to work with our minds, to cultivate our minds. That's right. To cultivate our minds. That's right. So Cecilia Ann has to convince herself to scrub down the shower today. That's tough work. That's tough work. But as I was saying, we should not be negligent in trying to work mentally, intellectually. Even though most of us have finished our formal education and possibly we finished our formal education many years, that does not mean that our permanent intellectual formation has ended. Maybe some of you remember that the other day I mentioned the importance of cultivating our mind by the reading of good literature. Do you remember that? And they gave you a list, obviously not an exhaustive list, but I gave you a list of some of the classic spiritual literary masterpieces. And I'd like to just go through that because we're expounding upon Jesus as my Father is at work until now, so I am at work. So we're called also to work. So I'd like to give you, in honor of the words of Jesus Christ speaking about work, what are what I consider some to be the key literary masterpieces that we should get to know better. The first thing we want to get to know better and better is the Bible, which is the Word of God. And as I said at the beginning of my talk, the Bible, the Word of God, the very heart of the Bible, my friends, the very heart of the Bible is, are rather, the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How important it is to work to cultivate our intellect. The next book that I mention is The Imitation of Christ. I think most of you have heard of The Imitation of Christ, I'm pretty sure. It was one of the favorite books of St. Ignatius as well as St. Therese. It is a spiritual literary classic. The author of The Imitation of Christ is a man, his name is Thomas Kempis. And it's divided into four sections called the four books And the last one, the last one The last one is dedicated to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Mary Jo has just mentioned a book that I mentioned in passing. It's a book on hell. And I think I have it in my library. Given that Mary Jo mentioned that, here is the book on hell. Big letters, huh? Hell and How to Avoid Hell. See if you can see it a little bit better. There you have it. In my studio here, I have a pretty good library. And it's actually written by a Jesuit priest. His name is Father Shoup. And Father Shoup has not only written a book on hell, but he's also written a book on purgatory. This gives a lot of biblical references and also those who have returned from hell to tell what it's like. That was not the book that I put on the top 10 list, but given that Mary Jo asked about it, well, I thought I would share that with you. But my friends, we cannot deny the reality of hell. And actually, this book that I'm showing you right now, Patrick Madrid, on Relevant Radio, he mentioned this book. And he said, this is kind of ironic. Patrick Madrid he said that when he was, I guess, a young man, for Christmas, he gave this book, wrapped this up, he gave this book to all of his family members, but he gave it especially to one of his sisters who was not practicing the faith. And she knew that her brother Patrick was directing that book at her. And at first, she got very angry. But she read this book on hell. And by reading the book on hell, this moved her to change her lifestyle. And I guess she went to confession and came back to the church. But she first got angry because she knew that he was directing this at her. And she was converted, came back to the church. Now, many of you have done the spiritual exercise with me. Many of you have. And actually, the third week, I go through what is called the last things. And it's Jesus speaks about the gospel today. Jesus mentions judgment many times in the gospel today. Judgment. The Father has given him the power to judge. Those who do good works will have their bodies raised up in the last day for life. Those who do iniquity will be condemned to a resurrection of judgment and condemnation. That's what Jesus says today in the gospel, actually. But honestly, my friends and Perseverance family, how could anyone seriously read and meditate upon the reality of hell and the possibility of us going to hell, because it's possible for all of us, we can all abuse our freedom. And we could lose our souls for all eternity. The reality of hell is stupendous. But reading and meditating and reflecting upon the reality of the last things, death, judgment, heaven and hell. Death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. It's a reality. So Babbage just said, I think too many people today don't believe in hell. That's where so many people are lost. You know, my friends, it's interesting that you say that, because in the Diary of St. Faustina, I have the Diary of St. Faustina here. And if you open up your diary, I don't plan to read this totally, but if you open up your diary of St. Faustina, it's actually number 741. I won't read it for you, but St. Faustina, number 741, maybe Carmen can write that down for me. Diary of St. Faustina, 741. Jesus tells Faustina to write about hell. And one thing that she mentions is the different types of sufferings in hell. And then there's a chasm where the people are placed suffering corresponding to their sins. But also mentions that she noticed that those who were in hell were actually those who denied hell. So thank you, Carmen. The Diary of St. Faustina, number 741. Jesus tells St. Faustina to write about hell. And in my program on the spiritual exercises, we actually make a copy of that number, 741, for the reading and the meditation of people. So the fact that Bev has mentioned this, that people deny the reality of hell, we cannot have a cafeteria Catholicism. Scott Hahn speaks about a cafeteria Catholicism where we pick and we choose. We really can't do it that way. We really can't do it that way. We cannot pick and choose what we like. Well, I like heaven, but I surely don't like hell, so I think I'll discard that. So many of you are commenting. Jacques Chauvin has already made a comment. But you know, all of you, here we have the Book of Hell by Father Shoup. Above and beyond what Father Shoup says and Our Lady Fatima says and St. Faustina says, and St. Teresa of Avila had a vision of hell too, as well as John Bosco. And Grace has just said that our Blessed Mother showed the vision of hell. That's right, Grace. That was July 13th, 1917. All of you are making really good comments. But above and beyond Faustina, Our Lady Fatima, Teresa of Avila, John Bosco, Padre Pio, all these great saints who've had these visions, above and beyond that, my friends, is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ actually said. It's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, and these private apparitions that Grace Baisley has mentioned, 1917, July 13th, the vision of Our Lady Fatima to the three children. Our Lady is simply reaffirming what Jesus himself teaches. Really simply reaffirming what Jesus teaches. And I'll just give you a couple of verses, and this book here is simply reaffirming what Jesus says in the Gospel. And I think this passage I'm going to give to you is very good for Lent. We heard this Gospel a couple of weeks ago. And it's taken from Matthew chapter 25, where Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus says this. I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty. You did not give me to drink. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. I was a foreigner, and you didn't welcome me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not come to visit me. When, Lord, did we see you hungry, thirsty, naked, a foreigner, sick in prison? When, Lord? And Jesus will say, whenever you failed to do it to the least of my brothers, you failed to do it to me. Out of my presence, into the fiery pit prepared for the devil and his angels. So Jesus points out very clearly that one of the reasons why we're lost is because we fail to show our love for him and our brothers and sisters. And I also like what Bev has brought up Years ago, we had a priest in our parish. His name was Father John Lyons. Very good priest. In one of his homilies, he said this, for those who deny the existence of hell. He made this point. Well, my friends, if everyone is going to heaven, if everyone on planet Earth is going to heaven, if that's the case, then what was the purpose? What was the purpose of Jesus in his passion? His crucifixion. His 3 hours of agony on the cross. He's shedding every drop of his precious blood. What's the purpose of Jesus suffering so much? For what is the purpose if everyone is going to heaven? Quite the contrary, that Jesus suffered so much as a means by which we can have access to heaven. So we recognize, my friends, the real value of your soul, my soul, your son-in-law's soul, my niece's soul. We recognize the real value of your soul and my soul. As St. Thomas Aquinas says, your soul, the soul of your daughter or son, and my niece, is more important than the whole created universe. That's right. Is more important, has more value than the whole created universe. Think about the stars, the moon, the clouds, the sky, the oceans, the majestic mountains, the earth, the planetary system, the meteors, the cosmos, the galaxies. One soul, your soul, the soul of Giovanni, the soul of my niece, the soul of your wandering brother or sister, is worth more than the whole created universe. Why? We read in the letter of St. Peter. That we have been redeemed. Redeemed, we mean bought back, saved. We've been redeemed, not through gold and silver, nor through the blood of rams and goats. But we have been redeemed, we've been bought back. By what? By the blood of the Lamb of God, by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So, my friends, as always, it's really great to be with all of you at Perseverance Family. Great to be with you. I'd like to invite you to share our conversation with your friends. Many of you have many friends. Share our conversation with many friends. Invite them. Invite your friends, your relatives, to become part of our perseverance family. The whole purpose of our perseverance family is what the word perseverance means. That we would run the good race, fight the good fight until the end. So that we would persevere, especially my friends, in our love for God, persevere in the grace of God, so that when we die, Jesus will say, "Welcome, my son and daughter, to the home of my Father. My home is your home forever." So, my friends, we've had a very good conversation today. And I'd like to impart to all of you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever.